Incredible. Guys, coming up next to the stage, we have actually a member of the Nerdalog sketch troupe, so I guess I lied at the top. We are going to tell a few of our own stories. This is Katie Johnston-Smith. Wait, did I mess that up?
Yeah.
Oh, I flipped that. Hold on. This isn't Katie. Larissa, you're in the Nerdalog. Nope. Coming up next, we have a friend of the Nerdalog. She just actually successfully kickstarted a really wonderful project called Taylor Swift Girl Detective, which is an illustrated book in the vein of Nancy Drew or the Hardy Boys, starring Taylor Swift and her best friend, Lord. She is not a member of the Nerdalogs, and I'm sorry that I got the order wrong. This is Larissa Zegaris.
I feel like I'm in a Jane Austen novel. Like a sitting performance. It works for me. And it's great that you confused us. It really goes with the theme of my story. Okay, so my name's Larissa. I am friends with Katie. I think, and here's my story. Great. She's the performer. I'm the writer. So I think a lot of us first learn how to love our friends and partners when we first start to love our friends and partners when we are moody teens. For me, the teenage years were also the time I first learned to love music. So much of the teenage years involved self-discovery by way of self-definition and self-proclamation. I love this, therefore I am this. Close friends, boyfriends, and say David Bowie, Morrissey, Belle and Sebastian, The Cure's album Show, gave me the blueprint to being myself when I was a teenager. I knew who I was because I loved what was me. Writ large but small but large across the south suburban roads I would endlessly terrorize with my best friend Jamie, the CD player I would mercilessly abuse with whatever emotionally charged glam rock or sad Brit pop I could find at the UCD store, the back seats I would fall in obsessive, gorgeous love in again and again and again. Being a teenager is a lot like being a toddler. Only you have the added benefit of being able to French kiss and write Smashing Pumpkins lyrics and bubble letters on your backpack. You are literally, for the first time, discovering your body does cool stuff in a conscious way. You are discovering your heart feels things in a conscious way. You are discovering music that no one has ever before discovered, and it's awesome in the truest sense of the word, and it's yours, and you're infinite, and everything you feel and love is yours, yours, yours for this moment and forever, and you breathe it, eat it, sleep it until you discover the next band or bestie or boyfriend. What is easy to forget about teenage land versus adult town is that discovery is not necessarily the be-all, end-all of human love. Being endlessly, inextricably wrapped up in anyone or anything else is fun for a time, but after a while, you need to come up for air. Pointing at the ceiling. Some point along the passing of the torch from the last generation of olds to the current one gathered in this room today, I think we have all confused the old teenage way of loving someone breathlessly, consumptively, obsessively with the right way of loving someone. Yes, we all culturally pay lip service to being our own person, keeping a balance in friendships and love relationships, but who out there among us doesn't feel a flush of yeah when we experience the punch drunk madness of being part of a squad, having a ride or die, finding true love, and abandoning that true love when you find an even truer love that makes you feel ever more giddy and alive. I refer to this, personally, as the Lisa Frank stickerification of emotionally regressive and nihilistic Mad Maxi times. It is a self-destructive, self-limiting set of behaviors. I don't want the idealized way to love a friend or lover to be dictated by an idealized version of the way I did so in the 11th grade. But when I was 25-ish, I met a friend who made me feel like I felt about best friends in the 11th grade. And I was hella Lisa Frank Mad Maxi about it. She was my ride or die. She made me feel understood, defined, infinite, beautiful, powerful, unalone, known. And I think I did the same for her. We did everything together. I could list this forever, but for narrative, economy, everything. We ate, breathed, dreamed each other. We spent all of our time, all of our energy together. She was married. I was single. I wondered why it felt like we were kids, being best friends and having sleepovers, but I didn't care enough to investigate that feeling. It felt too good, having this perfect, no space, no breath friendship. We were one person. I never had to feel alone. Until she had an affair. And then a divorce. And I knew almost every step and every slip down the road to ruin she was running. And I tried to take on all I could until I just couldn't anymore. Or wouldn't. And as much as I hated to admit it, she had taken on the human role of The Cure's show album. Something I loved to death, but just didn't want to listen to anymore. I wasn't outright cruel about this. I was heartlessly cruel about this. I downshifted my role in her life, I'm gonna cry, as she upshifted into a new group of friends I became alternately wildly jealous of and thankful for. I needed a break, but lacked the emotional wherewithal to say as much clearly. The silence and breath that had never existed between us began to last for hours, days, weeks, months, until a year and change had gone by, and all I knew of her was gleaned from internet stalking, until all I shared of hers was the past, until the truest mark of our ride or die-ness was me not talking as much shit about her as everyone else, because I loved her more, and missed her more, and needed her, because part of me was her. Because as bullshit as obsessive friendship and love is, it is usually born out of a sense of finding your tribe. Someone who speaks your language, someone who you get and who gets you, who makes you better or makes you want to be. David Bowie doesn't stop being David Bowie just because you're tired of the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust. Katie hadn't stopped being Katie, and I hadn't stopped being me. What I had done in our year apart was grow. I learned what it was like to make new friends, less obsessively and more healthfully. I fell in love and out of it. I made so many mistakes. I had my own affair. I made so many bad calls. I learned what it was like to be abused. I learned what it was like to stop being abused. I learned what it was like to rebuild myself from scraps out in an emotional desert of my own making. I learned how to follow through on myself and create my own self-esteem, not tied to the love or brain of someone else. I learned what it was like to leave the nursery. It just took so very, very long to pack up my little backpack of self-actualization and reflection and to head back to Katie's for a sleepover party in our souls. When we finally reconnected after our very long breather, rebuilding our friendship, thank you, snaps, felt like brutally re-breaking a bone so it could knit together properly. I would like to see the set of Lisa Frank stickers for that. I am better friends with Katie now, not because we are ride or die bestie sister BFF squad goals till the end bitches, but because we're our own people. Because of, instead of needing breathers, our relationship has breathing room. Instead of nonstop conversation, we have meaningful ones. A lot of the time, they're about boys and UTIs. But the rest of the time, they're about our own separate goals and some shared ones. One band I grew to love and as an adult has a song that goes, "Be my head and I'll be yours." I think of that lyric now a lot when I think about Katie, what Katie and I share, and even in a lot of my friendships, or about love in general. I like the sentiment. You take a load off for a while and shoulder it for someone else. They do the same for you when you need it. But you can't be someone's head for them unless you keep your own. You can only keep your own if you're less ride or die, and more so ride alongside while both being alive and enjoying the experience along with a multitude of others. You can only do that if you know the complete blueprint to yourself is not locked up in one other person alone. It's scattered like the best used clothes and CDs in bins and racks all over the damn place, and you'll spend your whole life finding them. You can only be someone's head if you keep your own clear, if you find the next grown-up way to love someone, and if you breathe.